You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. In addition to our premium courses on the Effective Statistician Academy, we also have lots of free resources for you across all kind of different topics within that academy. Head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and find the academy and much more for you to become an effective statistician. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician. And today I will talk about something that is very close to my heart, and that is learning how to be a really good leader, how to be an influencer, and an influencer in a way that is really someone that influences people, not just someone that has many people on following them on social. So influencing skills are a little bit like statistics skills. So how do you become a good statistician, a good data scientist, a good programmer? You can read a book about things. There's lots of books on all kinds of different things within statistics. But reading and getting knowledge will not make you a great statistician. Learning statistics is also not so much about whether you can do statistics or whether you can't do statistics, or programming or data science, all these kind of different things. It is about how good you are. It's not a binary thing, yes, no. It's a continuous thing. And the better you are, the more impact you can have. Now, what actually does mean better? I think there's two variables in it. So first is what kind of knowledge and tools you have. And when I'm speaking about tools, I'm not speaking about PowerPoint or these kind of things. Yes, you need to know these as well. I'm speaking about all your statistical tools. What kind of design options are you aware about, and you can actually understand so much that you can actually implement them, you can speak about them, you can defend them? What kind of analysis tools do you have? What kind of communication tools in terms of data visualization do you have? All these different things. I think if you have a bigger tool set and you master all these tools very well, then you're a good statistician. So two things come into play. First, having a big tool set. And second, mastering all these tools really good. And how do you learn about that? First, of course, you need to know about them. Then you need to implement them. You need to apply these different things. And then you reflect on them. For example, a specific study design. You read about it, you implement it with a study, and implementing, having a discussion with regulators, having a discussion with your team. Maybe you're not even implementing it in the end, but you have all these kind of different discussions about it. And there you reflect about it. Okay, maybe there's this specific thing that I wasn't aware that, okay, that has a time problem with the recruitment, or yeah, that increases the cost here, or maybe it gets a little bit problematic with these kind of different assumptions. You really understand it by doing it. Same with analysis. First time when you do it, you actually see, okay, There's this different option, this detail, and here's this data point that doesn't really fit. What do I do with it? And then you really understand and you reflect and you refine and you learn more. And every time you do it, you become better. So you need to, if you want to be a good statistician from a technical point of view, you need to have a big tool set and you need to have good mastery of all these different tools. And you learn about these things and that you first get to know about it, then you do it, then you reflect, and then you repeat from the start. So learn, do, reflect, and repeat. And it is exactly the same with all the influencing skills, with communication, with building trust, with networking, with negotiation, with resolving conflict, with driving initiatives forward. All these different things, it is exactly the same. You need to know the different tools. You need to be able to speak about it. One of the great things about statistics or mathematics in general is that we give certain words to concepts, like a probability distribution, a p-value, a test, a confidence interval, variability, bias. All these things we can only talk about because we have a name for them. We have a concept for it. We have additional definition for it. And that's why we can think about it. We can communicate about it. And it is the same for leadership, for influencing. Very often we use kind of their words that generally we may be aware about, like trust. Build trust. But what does that actually mean, building trust? How do you do that? It is really important to understand the concepts behind it. And for trust, it is the three fundamental things about it is care, character, and competence. We talk about it a lot in our leadership program. And yes, people first listen about it, then they try a little bit again with it, and they reflect about it, what could they do better. Maybe sometimes they forget certain aspects and then they are challenged again. Also in leadership, and when I talk about leadership, this concept in itself is something that is quite vague for lots of people. But in the essence, it is you want to create value together with others. Value for your organization together with others. And these can be people that report to you, that these can be people that are in your project teams. These can even be people outside of your organization. This can even be people high up in your organization. You can also lead your supervisors and your step level supervisors and all these kind of different things to all these different areas. Now, what is actually happening then in terms of leadership learning in the field? So first, what I see is there's a lack of focus on it. Do you want to read a paper about the last stats methodology, the latest phase 2 design? No problem. Spend your time. Not sure whether we have the budget for that. These skills are so fundamental, so important. You can be the best technical statistician. If you can't convince others of your ideas, they are not worth a penny. Or send. You need to be able to convince others on your ideas. Then all the stats stuff that you know and learn about becomes really valuable. It becomes only valuable if there's action, if people are implementing things. I think this is one of the fundamental flaws that very often people don't see, is that knowledge is nothing without action. Only when you act, when you implement, when you do, then there's value created. Knowledge, for example, also for physicians. If they have all that knowledge, but they never apply it to a patient, who cares? You need to apply things to create value. The other problem that I see very often with all these trainees in terms of influencing is they are very sparse. They happen only here and there, and maybe, and very often, sometimes also pretty condensed, like this, this 2-day training on XYZ. Then you go to this 2-day training, and it's really difficult to carve out 2 days out of your calendar. And you think about all these different things that I need to do after the training that I haven't done in these 2 days. And then also, I need to travel maybe somewhere, and that takes maybe another day out of my calendar, or maybe another 2 days out of my calendar. And then also cost associated with it. Okay, yeah, let's not go there. That's even another topic. But then you are in this meeting, in this training for two days, and you get so much content. Very often kind of PowerPoint slides. I don't know how you feel about it, but very often that's overwhelming. There's so much stuff and so little action. I think what you learn, you should be able to directly implement. Yes, there's definitely a place for these in-person 2-day trainings. I actually do them as well, because for certain kind of more complex things, and if you really want to have a longer discussion, if you actually also have time in there where people can do and implement and learn, yep, there's a place for that. I think there's also a place for you to continuously learn. So not just listen to this podcast, read another book, listen to another ebook. Do things and then reflect on them. Take action. That's where you learn and also where the value is created. Action. This is really important. Another thing is to take action. I think sometimes it's really important that you just have some kind of bite-sized learning. Yeah? Learn about one thing and then apply it directly. That is also much more rewarding. Yeah. So, for example, if you want to become a better listener, listening, by the way, is the most underrated leadership skill. Read about it, learn about it, and then directly apply it into your next one-to-one or in your next meeting. Then reflect from it and do it again and again and again. One great way you can become a better leader is, of course, if you apply all these kind of different things in your day-to-day work. And there's one thing that we also speak in our leadership program quite a lot about, is you select one thing and make it your initiative that you want to move forward. And this initiative can have two different directions. Either it solves a problem, it addresses a challenge. There's some frustration about low quality, long timelines, high cost, anything like this. Something that is painful from a business perspective. Think about what is really the problem. Yeah, I highly recommend you think about the actual problem quite a long time before you think about what could be a solution. And then propose a solution and drive it forward. This will be very important for you to become a better leader. You can also join, there's always these kind of business initiatives like, we need to create a new SOP, we need to become better in terms of how we are outsourcing, we have this challenge in terms of our group dynamics, whatever. There's always some kind of change going on in companies and organizations. Become part of these initiatives and learn from there. These are great places to learn about leadership. So this is about these challenges. Another thing is, and I think this is sometimes even more fun, is to look for opportunities. What could you do or your organization do, that would largely increase its value. And yeah, maybe it takes some more time, or maybe it takes some costs, or maybe it means that you need to work a little bit differently. But is there something that you could do much more consistently that would help the organization? If you don't know about what that is, maybe, just maybe, I have an idea for you. How about if you would spend more time on training non-statisticians? I think that always has a huge value on for your organization, your Parametrics organization, as well as beyond. I've talked about training quite a lot on this podcast, so I don't want to repeat things here. But that could be an opportunity to create more value. If you don't have any kind of good resources that you can use to learn more about leadership, then I would urge you to check out the Effective Statistician Leadership Program. We are now completely revamping it. And if you go to the homepage, you will sign up for the newsletter so that you don't miss the news if it's not yet there. We have lots of things coming up there in the fall of 2024. And this program puts together all the experience of different leadership modules, programs, trainings Gary, Francisco, I, and some others did over the last 6 years. And it's a really nice program that lives under this kind of credo. You learn, you do, you reflect, and you repeat things again. It's a one-year membership, and then after each year you can renew it, because I strongly believe you need to have continuous learning in that aspect. You need to do more than these 3 days here, 2 days there, things like that. Actually, not more kind of continuous. Yeah, so that you can learn something and then directly apply it. And that is the whole idea of how we designed this training. Yes, we have some workshops in there, but they are short, to the point, so that you can directly learn afterwards. We have bite-sized training videos in there, so that you can listen to or watch one thing and then directly implement it. We have lots of discussion forums in there. We have lots of forums in there where you can test something, where you can actually apply what you have learned. We have presentations and workshops, for example, in there where you can present and then get feedback and watch others present and learn from them and the feedback they get. And there also, in this program, we ask you to select an initiative, a project, maybe something you're already working on, or already thinking on for quite some time, and apply it. Apply all these different learnings, reflect from it, get feedback about it, speak about what are your challenges, and also document your successes. This is what will happen in this leadership program that is completely revamped and really exciting and starting fall this year. Now, enjoy the wonderful weekend, or whenever you listen to this, have a great day. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.